The Saturday Morning Showcase on The Fan.
Probably more excited than I've been in a long time.
You got to start just giving him credit. He's been a heck of a playoff quarterback.
He's the kind of guy who he doesn't talk a lot. When he does, you want him to stop.
That's kind of wrong right now.
If I am wrong, feel free to call and make fun of me as much as you want. Randall Cobb is not leaving Green Bay. The Packers will not let him walk.
He held himself accountable. He said, I'll sleep when I'm dead.
At what point do we just say, you know what, maybe we should review penalties like interference? If you're going to interrupt the flow of the game and eliminate human error, then do that.
I don't think we jacked any bad ones.
It's the Saturday Morning Showcase on The Fan. Here's your host, Marcus Ebersole.
What's up? How's it going, Green Bay? It is the Saturday Morning Showcase on The Fan. I am Marcus Ebersole, like the voice guy said, and today is a big day. Why? Today is a big day because tomorrow is a huge day. Packers, Seahawks, NFC Championship. That's all tomorrow at 2:05, which of course means Green Bay Game Day live from the Green Bay Distillery at 11 a.m., 3 hours of pregame coverage, and we will be... again, live from the Green Bay Distillery. Not in studio. Changing it up because it's the NFC Championship. So head down to the Green Bay Distillery tomorrow. Green Bay Game Day, 11 a.m. If you want to join the show today, do it. My show is your show. Tweet the fan at WDUZ. Tweet me at MJ Ebersole. Or give me a call, 393-1075, 920, 393-1075. It is the eve of the NFC Championship. The Packers are 7.5-point underdogs. They don't have many believers nationally. They have plenty of believers around these parts. This game at Seattle against the Seahawks with a Super Bowl berth on the line, probably the toughest possible game on the NFL schedule, but this is football, and that's why they play the game, and I can't wait to see how it unfolds. And I am joined this morning in the Mills Fleet Farm fan studio by none other than Will. I used to have a teacher in fourth grade named Miss Case. Will Case, how you doing?
Good. Hey,
awesome.
You got to play the best, and you got to beat the best to be the best.
Ooh, sound like Ric Flair.
Yeah. So that is that's where we're at right now with this 2014 NFL season, and I cannot wait. I am so excited for this game tomorrow. I thought I was nervous about Dallas. I guess you could say I'm nervous, but I'm more excited. I want to see the Packers' best shot.
Yeah.
Hitting the Seahawks, and I think they're in position right now to give that best shot.
I agree with you.
Can't wait.
It's going to be exciting.
I mean, it's going to be one of those games where if, 7-point underdog, understandable.
More than a touchdown. The last seven NFC championships, by the way, decided by 7 points or less. The Seattle Seahawks favored by 7.5. I'm sensing a little doubt. Mr. Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think that's a good idea. This is the first time they've ever been this much of an underdog with him in the starting lineup.
I believe it is.
I mean, that's kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah.
But you used to say it about Brett Favre all the time. You'd rather have no one else under center. But this time, do you still feel the same kind of with Rodgers?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, everyone says this year on the road at home, Rodgers is so much better at home, obviously, with the stats. But Rodgers won a Super Bowl entirely on the road. I don't really feel terribly uncomfortable about that.
I'm with you there. The 12th man will be a challenge for sure at Seattle. Tough place to play. Again, this is the toughest possible game you could have on your schedule. Packers win it. It's not going to be easy. They will definitely have had to earn it. Again, if you want to join the show today, give me a call. I want to take plenty of calls. 393-1075. We can even start first segment. Tweet us, follow us on Twitter, at WDUZ. Follow me on Twitter as well, at MJ Ebersole. Will is on Twitter as well, at William Charles C. So get in touch with the show, join it. Looking forward to it. So again, the odds are stacked against the Packers, but we'll revisit this later in the show. If you're trying to talk yourself into picking the Packers tomorrow, or you just want to feel optimistic about the game, remember these five things. Number one. The defense is much improved since their week one game in September in Seattle. Here's Mike Daniels on the defense's improvement.
I mean, we got some attitude. You know, flat out didn't come to play last time. Got Sam Barrington in there in the middle. He's going to thump you. After he thumps you, he's going to tell you he thumped you. Ty does the same thing. Detroit, last time he played up there, that was his fourth time in pads. You know, the guy missed all the camp. He was hurt. So he's been playing a lot of good football since then. Clay is playing at that level that Clay Matthews plays at. Julius, he's like wine, man. He's getting better with age.
There you go. Mike Daniels. On the improvements on defense, can't say enough about it.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot that's going on the defensive side of the football that the Seahawks just plain out didn't see in week one.
Exactly.
It isn't necessarily that the Packers have just straight up gotten better. It's the Packers have changed.
Schematically and otherwise.
There's a huge schematic changes.
Yep.
You look at, well, obviously the move to inside for Clay Matthews. That is not a surprise. But you also look at the fact that it isn't necessarily what the Packers have added. Look at what the Seahawks don't have. They don't have Percy Harvin. They did week one. Percy Harvin, I think, had 100-plus all-purpose yards. I mean, he was a threat in a lot of different ways. And that's the kind of athlete, a Randall Cobb, I dare say, type athlete, that's tough to plan for.
Yeah.
And when you don't have to plan for Percy Harvin, that's a huge amount of the game plan that you can just forget about. Because I'd argue they don't have a guy even close to Percy Harvin's skill, attitude or not.
And they did in Paul Richardson, their rookie, mm-hmm. who they took ahead of Davante Adams and a bunch of other really good rookie receivers. Speedster, dude tore his ACL last week. So number one, Packers defense much improved since their first game. We have a top five here. Reasons why you should be optimistic, or you could be optimistic, looking at the Packers-Seahawks game tomorrow. And we'll do that before we get to Big Petey, who is on hold, first caller of today. Number two, the Packers can rely on the run and win games. All four teams who have beaten Seattle this season, they did exactly that. Even when the run game didn't work at first, mm-hmm. they stuck with it. Eddie Lacy running a lot better than he was in week one.
I think we've been able to do a good job on the ground, and our production definitely picked up from week one.
Number three, we kind of touched on it with the first one here with the defense. Brad Jones is no longer an every down player. He played 70 of 70 snaps in week one. Last week he played 7 of 56. My oh my, how things have changed. And Clay Matthews is a big reason why. He's playing in the middle now, and he knows that, especially against Seattle, you're going to need to stop the run. And that's not easy against Marshawn Lynch.
You know, we're going to have to gang tackle. We understand that. He's going to make his plays. I think that's one thing you have to understand. We just got to get back up and, do it for four quarters.
Number four, the offensive line. For me, this is probably the biggest difference. Mm-hmm. Derek Sherrod came in for Brian Bulaga, who suffered a knee injury. The 20th snap of the game, arguably the worst offensive line performance I've ever seen from an individual. Derek Sherrod was atrocious in week one. Packers just couldn't overcome it. And that's exactly what Corey Linsley said. It's not easy.
I think you lose anybody like that, it's extremely difficult. It's going to be a challenge. Kind of with a guy who wasn't expecting to play, you think, like, first game of the year, there's no way anybody gets it. So it was definitely hard for us.
All right, so there's four. The defense is much improved, number one. Number two, they can rely on the run and win games. I think they would have to do that if they win tomorrow. Number three, Brad Jones, not in the lineup. Number four, Derek Sherrod, no longer a Packer. And number five is the quarterback. Yes, he's dealing with the bum calf. Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
And at some point in tomorrow's game, he's going to look like Aaron Rodgers. If that's the entirety of the game, I like the Packers' chances. Randall Cobb says Aaron Rodgers, hands down the MVP.
Yeah, everything about him. Obviously, his numbers speak for themselves, but his leadership, his competitive nature. I mean, this guy is hurt. I mean, he's hands down MVP.
There you go.
Yep. You don't need anyone else to say it. Randall Cobb just did.
I mean, you agree with that list?
Yeah. I think that the Packers' offensive line is a huge part, not just of this game, but the entire season, the unsung hero group, because you look in the past years that Mike McCarthy has coached this team. Yep. First of all, he said verbally this could be the best offensive line.
Yep.
And as he went through week one with that awful performance, everyone was like, what are you talking about, dude? What are you talking about? Well, this is what he was talking about. But the thing is, past years, the Packers have had serious health issues on the offensive line, and they've never had a unit that's been able to play really, really well together for a long period of time like this one has. Now, we're going to try and see if there's any reward to benefit from this unit. Now let's cash in on the fact that this offensive line is so ready.
Yeah.
You got to have it pay off in Seattle, cuz that's the whole reason you play all year long is for these games right here.
Exactly. And if you go into Seattle in recent years or whatever the postseason matchup is, typically with the Packers lately it's been, well, if only JerMichael Finley were healthy. If only so and so were healthy. Man, we're dealing with so many injuries. Clay Matthews, if only he were healthy.
He's not, he's got a thumb. He's 100%. How effective is he going to be?
Well, That's not the case this year.
No.
This is the Packers at full strength going to Seattle trying to get to the Super Bowl. And this is the Saturday Morning Showcase on The Fan. I'm Marcus Eversole with Will Case alongside. And via phone, Big Petey joins us. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Showcase, Petey. Thanks for the call.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
This is excellent. Packer talk and coffee for breakfast here.
Can't beat it.
Hey, one of the other things, you guys pretty much covered everything. One of the big things, too, is that first game, all the amount of rookies we had on the field and the mistakes that were glaring, from Corey Lindsley at center to Clinton Haha to Devontae Adams, non-factor. Well, this is a completely changed set of rookies now after 17 games of playing. So I see that being a huge factor.
No doubt.
And I also believe, if you guys got the stats, that first game penalties just totally killed us with Sherrod and Lindsley with the quick snaps and that. So, this is a much improved, different team. It's almost like a 180.
Yeah, totally agree.
I agree.
You just blew my mind.
Appreciate the call, Petey. Especially with the rookies, as he touched on. I mean, first of all, this is rookie class, as far as immediate contribution, arguably Ted Thompson's
kind of nuts right now.
I mean,
their input level on the offensive side of the football, especially, it's kind of crazy.
Corey Lindsley, a day three pick, is arguably a top three center in the NFL right now. Pro Football Focus has him at five. Dude can play. Mm-hmm. Three, five, whatever he is, Corey Lindsley can play. Devontae Adams wasn't targeted in week one. Oh, by the way, caught seven passes, 117 yards, and a touchdown last week against Dallas.
And made the entire secondary look foolish.
Yeah.
And just one. Anyways, you know, there's a great amount of guys, like the caller said, that have just kind of developed over time since week one that changes. I mean, Aaron Rodgers alluded to it yesterday in his press conference where he's like, you know, Haha looks different. Corey obviously is better. But you take a look at the fact that the Packers are getting input from just about every rookie who has played offensively over the last couple of weeks. And I'll tell you, this is why I like to stray from the national narrative that the Packers are, and I hate when they say this, the Packers have to throw to Richard Sherman's way to win the football game.
Yes.
I believe you have to not be afraid of Richard Sherman, but I don't believe you have to throw it to him as much as people are thinking you have to.
No,
because
hey, listen,
you have so many more options now. I mean, you got Richard Rodgers, Devontae Adams, like we already said. You don't have to go to either Jordy or Cobb, and that's it, and then just let Richard Sherman take Jarrett Boykin out of the picture.
Well,
you've got a zillion options now.
And let's not overcomplicate things here. There's a reason why people don't throw at Richard Sherman 10 times a game. He's really, really good.
Yep.
Do they ignore that side of the field and play half the field and go 10-on-10? No, I don't think that's the Packers' best plan of attack, but there's a reason why Aaron Rodgers didn't throw at Richard Sherman in week one.
And I'm not defending that game plan decision because obviously it didn't work.
And
there was a lot of people frustrated the fact that Rodgers didn't even try his hand against Richard Sherman, and I'm fine with that, whatever. I'm not blaming Rodgers for not going his way, but I'm not going to say he should have and all that. I'm just saying Packers have options. And where Richard Sherman is, Rodgers is going to throw to the open guy.
Yeah.
And it's a silly conversation otherwise.
They're on a 7-game win streak right now, they being Seattle. Richard Sherman he's allowed 10 completions in those 7 games. He has 4 interceptions himself.
Mm-hmm.
So he's caught 4 passes. The receivers against him have caught 10. I mean, it's just ridiculous what he's doing. Randall Cobb, before we get to Eric, Randall Cobb says, if we're going to win this game, we can't be afraid of Richard Sherman.
Well, we're going to have to go at him to win this game, and, you know, we're not really worried about that in the situation. We're worried about making sure that we handle our business on offense.
All right, Randall Cobb on The Fan. Now Eric joins us on The Fan. Eric, welcome to the Saturday Morning Showcase. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, listen, I agree with you. Just because you throw out Richard Sherman doesn't mean you're going to win or lose a ball game. I think that's the most foolish narrative and line I've heard in a long time.
I agree.
What's more important is that they got to get some action in the middle part of the field. I mean, they're lacking a little bit on tight end on some bursts there. So I'm looking to see them spread it out with, instead of a tight end being close to the line of scrimmage, that maybe we'll see Jordy Nelson there or motioning him from one side to the next to attack that middle part of the field, kind of soften it up a little bit so that they can have some attention going that way. What makes it difficult, I believe, by using 87 for a tight end route is that you're taking away someone on the outside.
Yep.
Because one of the things that they got to do is they got to get them out of the two deep. They got to get those guys open because Aaron doesn't like to throw anything deep into that type of coverage. So hopefully we see some stuff early and to the middle part of the field, to the tight ends, or and not just to Jordy Nelson. I know they're going to do it because they did it the first time, but we need to see, 89 or 81 step up and make some stuff happen in the middle part of the field. And the other thing, too, is if they can spread them out and run the ball out of one back, I think they'll be in pretty good shape, and that might force their hand a little bit. In my opinion, offensively, it's going to be attacking the middle part of the field and getting the running game going. I mean, you can get 27 with a full head of steam and hand him the ball enough. He needs to have one of those 25, 28 carry games, and then see what happens. I mean, and I think that the Packers can do it if they can get an early lead.
Yeah. No, I tell you, I agree with him in the fact
appreciate
that
the call, Eric.
I don't know about if Eddie Lacy needs 25 to 28 carries, but I think he could have that many touches. And by that, I mean, I think you get the ball, use the screen. You look at a lot of the games where they had a lot of big drives this year, a lot of really important drives, Miami game, New England game, those games where they had nice, long, clock-killing drives that really sucked the life out of the defense. They got the ball to Randall Cobb out of the backfield throwing it. You got him, Eddie Lacy, on the screen. There was a lot of different creativity plays out there that Rodgers really used. And Lacy doesn't necessarily need, I don't think, 25 handoffs a game. I think he just needs to get 25 touches.
That's Will Case. I'm Marcus Eversole. This is the Saturday Morning Showcase on The Fan. All four teams to have beat Seattle, they had at least 27 rushing attempts. So maybe it doesn't all fall on Eddie Lacy, but as a team, the Packers will need to run the ball to win. I think that is for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And on Eric's point regarding Richard Sherman, yeah, I think the whole narrative is kind of overblown. Listen, he's a really good corner, and really good corners, Darrell Revis in his prime, Richard Sherman, even still Darrell Revis, Joe Hayden, I mean, those guys aren't getting targeted 12 times a game. There's a reason. They're better than the other corner, and there are better options across the board. And were the Packers afraid of Sherman? Afraid is a strong word, but the facts are they moved Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson around so where they weren't lined up on Richard Sherman's side. That's not a coincidence.
Right.
So they were definitely avoiding him to a certain extent. We'll see if that's the game plan tomorrow. Real quick, before we got to get to our first break of the show here, look back at week one. And again, this is a completely different game. You watch that game, it's hard to recognize the two teams. Percy Harvin was huge in that game. He's a Jet now.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Sherrod was terrible in that game. He's on the Chiefs practice squad, I believe, if he's still even there. Not a Packer. Big differences. I'm going to pick one big difference. You pick another one from that week one game. And I'm going to go with the offensive line. We have already touched on it today. Mm-hmm. Corey Lindsey was making his first start. You have Bruce Irvin, the Seahawks linebacker, saying, well, pray for him. It's going to be tough for him. Well, he didn't need your prayers. He's a Pro Bowl caliber player. Offensive line has played together every game this year except when Brian Bulaga had to sit out week two. I mean, this unit right now in January, infinitely better than it was in September. What do you got, Will?
I'm going to stick with the tight end group.
Okay.
Because early in the season, it was the question of who's going to step up, who's going to make a play. Who's going to make a catch here and there? Who's going to start making a difference? The group, Andrew Corliss is really coming on. And people forget that he played in the Super Bowl. People forget that he's been there, done that. He's played in the deep playoffs and in those matchups. But you got to give credit to Richard Rodgers because everyone talks about Aaron Rodgers' ability to get out of the pocket and move and make good throws. You know, how much does that calf really affect him? He made one of the best throws last week to Richard Rodgers.
That throw was ridiculous.
I mean, it wasn't.
Unbelievable.
He was rolling the opposite shoulder. It was nuts.
Yeah.
And it says
don't
a lot.
Act like you're not impressed.
It says a lot about a rookie receiver or a rookie tight end.
Yeah.
When Rodgers is willing to take that throw at a position spot on the field like that, I just say kudos to the tight end group right now.
And Richard Rodgers. Great hands.
Yeah, you can't really argue it.
It was a body catch in that instance, but he doesn't drop many passes.
He looks comfortable catching the football, doesn't he?
He totally does.
It's just what some guys, you know, the Miracles catches and you're not, but he, solid, solid guy.
Yeah. Here's a couple interesting stats. The Seahawks 16-0 at home. No, they're 16-0 period since 2012 when scoring at least 24 points.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers have allowed 24 points just once in their last 9 games. And that was the Atlanta Falcons debacle in the second half. Last week, Aaron Rodgers and Tony Romo faced off. They're the two highest-rated passers in NFL history with a minimum of 1,500 pass attempts. If that number is lowered to 1,000 pass attempts, Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson are the two highest-rated passers. And one more. This is the seventh time two teams who met in Week 1 will have played again in the conference championship. The first six times, the Week 1 winner also won the conference championship. We will see if tomorrow's any different.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Now, the Packers, they got themselves into a little trouble in Buffalo when they turned away from the run game. It was working, and they switched their game plan at halftime. The four teams that beat the Seattle Seahawks this year stuck with the run, even if it didn't work all that well. So, will tomorrow be a busy day for Eddie Lacy? I think yes.
The Saturday Morning Showcase on The Fan.
This is The Fan. This is the Saturday Morning Showcase. I'm Mark Seversal, Will Case alongside. Hour number one here, about 8:25 on this Saturday morning of the eve of the NFC Championship. Seems like a long time ago since the Packers played in the NFC Championship. It was only 4 years ago, but...
It's been, yeah.
This is Green Bay, and I hate to use the S word, but... kind of spoiled around these parts. The last couple decades, just think about it. I mean, the definition of spoiled.
But we've had
fortunate is a kinder word, but it's true.
But since 2010, we've had a postseason dry spell. We haven't had many wins. I think we've had one against Minnesota in 2012.
Mm-hmm. Hey, put it this way.
I
was born in 1990, grew up in the Madison area. The two Packers quarterbacks I've watched, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
So if some outsider were to call me a spoiled, you know, football fan, I wouldn't exactly argue with them, you know?
Definitely
very, very fortunate.
Definitely fortunate, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Because there's teams out there who, I mean, you used to see all the, you know, all the numbers that they used to run in the mid-2000s, how many quarterbacks the Bears and the Browns have had starting in just the time that Brett Favre started under center for the Packers. I mean, it was like 19, close to 20. I mean, I wonder now that you look, now that Aaron Rodgers is almost 10 years into his time here, you look at that, I wonder what those numbers look like now on the other side with just Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. It's kind of crazy to think about. But yeah, we are kind of spoiled here. But yeah. I don't think fans forget that, though.
No.
I don't think they blindly go about their day thinking this is going to go on forever.
The Packer fans know they're fortunate and went through definitely a long time of rough patches.
Yes.
Just didn't have to be in, didn't happen to me in my lifetime. Lucky me. All right. Packers back in the NFC Championship game for the first time in 4 years. Last time they beat the Chicago Bears in Chicago to advance to the Super Bowl in Dallas. I remember Charles Woodson's post-game speech. Apparently Julius Peppers going to address the team before the game in Seattle, get that little veteran leadership. The Packers, if they're going to win, the numbers say they're going to have to run the ball. And Eddie Lacy, 12 carries for 34 yards in Week 1. Again, the run game a lot better now than it was in Week 1.
I think we've been able to do a good job on the ground, and our production definitely picked up from Week 1.
In his last seven games, Eddie Lacy has at least 97 yards in six of those seven, so the production has certainly picked up. The four teams to beat Seattle, San Diego Chargers, Dallas Cowboys, St. Louis Rams, and Kansas City Chiefs, they all ran the ball at least 27 times for at least 102 yards. That was the St. Louis Rams, the lowest production there.
Yep.
Remember that game, too? They had like two fake punts.
Yep.
Really interesting game plan, which makes you wonder if the Packers have something cooked up their sleeve, but...
they got it done.
We shall see. That's an average 32 attempts, 138 yards against the Seahawks. So not a huge amount of production in terms of yards per carry, but pretty darn good, and teams stuck with the run. If you're going to beat Seattle, you better be able to run the ball, or better be willing to run the ball.
I think if you're going to look at who you look at that's beaten the Seahawks, like the Packers could, or a team that beat the Seahawks that matches up well with the Packers, you got to look at the Dallas Cowboys and how they went into Seattle, I think, week two.
October 12th.
My bad, week six.
Mm-hmm.
You go in early, you know, look at what they did. Look how they attacked, how they stuck with the run. I mean, granted, DeMarco Murray is not the same running back as Eddie Lacy, but Eddie Lacy can get the job done, no doubts there.
The Dallas Cowboys in Seattle, 36 rushing attempts for 162 yards. It's 4.5 a carry. If the Packers have similar production, that sounds like a recipe for a victory.
Yep. Because you know Aaron Rodgers, there's going to be drives where he struggles, where he might not seem on par. There's going to be other drives where you're like, what is he doing? That's insane. How did he do that? But is he going to is it realistic, Marcus, to expect that an entire game? No. Not with Seattle secondary. For Rodgers to be on target all game long, you have to go to the run.
And I know we've got a bunch of calls this week, you know, sick of hearing about how great their secondary is, or sick of hearing about how great their fans are, or how loud the stadium's going to be. Well, let's be real. This is probably the loudest stadium in the NFL at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand some animosity towards the 12th man thing. Mm-hmm. First of all, because the 12th man, that label, it existed before the Seahawks. I don't understand how they just adopt it right now. Like, you just, like, borrow it. And
they made a flag, so that's why they get that, right?
Yeah, and you all can wear your little 12 jerseys with the man on the back. It's not even a player jersey, but whatever. I understand that. But this is legitimately this secondary, and it is a loud stadium, but this secondary, it's the NFC Pro Bowl secondary.
Yep.
I mean, you're going to replace one of the corners. There's other corners better than Byron Maxwell, but still, these two safeties are arguably the top two in the league. They just happen to play on the same team. Richard Sherman might be the best corner in the league.
Yep.
They're as good as advertised. Let's hear from Jim. Jim, welcome to the fan. How are you?
Morning, Marcus. How are you today?
Doing great.
Morning, Will. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Well, you know, I'm just relaxing here on a Saturday morning, and something just came to me. Not only do you have the Seahawks and the Packers and Wilson and Rodgers going against each other, but you got American Family Insurance and State Farm going against each other. And I wonder how many of those commercials, you know, discount double checks and Wilson doing his stick are we going to see tomorrow. But one thing I've been hearing, and it's kind of confusing to me, is how well the Packers are playing now as opposed to when they first met the Seahawks. And on the other side of the coin, maybe the Seahawks are playing better than they played the Packers the first time. Let's remember the Seahawks. They were 3-3 at one point, weren't they?
They were, yeah.
And they were pretty much decimated in the NFC West, and Arizona was going to ride off in the sunset. But something happened to that team, and I don't know what it was, but they got on that roll where they just were dominating teams and not letting teams score any points. I think for a stretch there, they were only giving up about 6 to 7 points a game.
Yeah.
So, you know, they really got on a roll, and I think that will continue tomorrow. They kind of mirror the – not that they are the 85 Bears, but they kind of mirror that kind of team where strong defense, a strong running game, and you got a quarterback that will not lose the game for you and just manage it, and you come out a winner.
Appreciate the call, Jim. And you are absolutely right. The Seahawks are loaded. Definitely going to be a tough game, and they did go through a stretch where they struggled. A lot of that had to do with Bobby Wagner being out. You hate to say it's all on one player, and it's not, but Bobby Wagner is a strong physical run stuffer who, oh, by the way, runs in the high 4.4s in the 40. He's a beast. He's an animal. They were 3-2 without Bobby Wagner midseason. They were 3-3 at one point in the season. But in that Week 1 matchup, I don't think the Seahawks can be much better tomorrow than they were on September 4th. Everything was working in that game.
Yep. All great and even good teams adjust to obstacles midseason, and they find ways to win.
Yeah.
That's the way it's always been. It's no different for the Seahawks. They're still Super Bowl champs.
Right.
I mean,
let's hear from Michael real quick. Michael, welcome to the fan. How are you?
Hey, guys. I just want to talk about the fans a little bit.
Sure.
The thing I find different about us from them is they have that loud confidence, and basically, it seems like they think they already won the game.
Mm-hmm.
We have that quick, like, the sneaky, quiet confidence where it's like, we're going to go in there, we're going to steal it, and we're going to get out, and we're going to Arizona, and we're going to take on probably the Patriots. And I'm excited. I'll hand it up. Listen, bye.
Appreciate the call, Michael. There's a little quiet confidence with the Packers, Bung Packers fan. That's another interesting dynamic, too, by the way.
Yeah.
A little fan-on-fan action. I like it. Yeah, Michael, I think the Patriots win tomorrow as well. Hey, that was my preseason Super Bowl pick, was Packers-Patriots.
Was it?
Yeah.
Nice.
I had the Patriots beating the Packers. So that's not nice, I guess you would say. But, hey, we'll see. It's going to be both games should be good tomorrow. Looking forward
to
that.
Could prove to be true, though.
We're going to talk about the AFC Championship on the other side and pick that game along with the NFC Championship. But got to talk real quick. Seahawks, offensively, the number one rushing team in the NFL. 172 yards a game. 207 against the Packers in Week 1. This season, Seattle, 2,762 yards rushing, 5.3 yards per carry. You have Marshawn Lynch, a beast in the backfield. Russell Wilson as a quarterback, 849 yards, 6 touchdowns. They can run the ball. Packers finished number 3 in the NFL in run defense, just under 120 yards per game. But they're improved. First 8 games, all 8 opponents went over 100 yards rushing, 153 yards per game. Their final 8 regular season games, cut that in half. Only 4 of 8 opponents went over 100 yards. They cut that number from 153 yards per game to 86 yards per game in the final 8 games. Packers are improved.
Yep. There's no doubt about that. In Clinton Dix, big part of the defense, hasn't had the stats a lot of people wanted him to have. I mean, I wanted him to have a couple more picks. He's got 1. Decent tackler, or in the numbers anyways, but he's a great open field tackler if you ask me.
He is.
But he's one of those guys who statistically doesn't look like he's making that much of an impact, but he gives a lot of other guys freedom, and he's a great sideline-to-sideline player.
He definitely is, and in week 1, Clinton Dix looked like a rookie.
Yeah.
He was caught in no man's land.
Well, it was his first game.
Yeah. It absolutely was, but he is another one of those rookies who has improved dramatically. He played 40 snaps in week 1.
Yeah.
He's an every down player now. He's one of a handful of Packers defenders who doesn't come off the field at all. Packers defense much improved, and they'll have to prove it tomorrow against Seattle if they're going to win. Before we hit the break, let's let Mike Daniels sum up the differences between the September 4th Packers and the January 18th Packers when they take the field tomorrow. Here's Mike Daniels summing up the Packers defense and the changes it has underwent here on The Fan.
I mean, we got some attitude, you know. Flat out didn't come to play last time. Got Sam Barrington in there in the middle. He's going to thump you. After he thumps you, he's going to tell you he thumped you.
Ty
does the same thing. LaTroy, last time he played up there, that was his 4th time in pads. You know, the guy missed all the camp. He was hurt, so he's been playing a lot of good football since then. Clay is playing at that level that Clay Matthews plays at. Julius, he's like wine, man. He's getting better with age.
Getting better with age. Aren't we all? Hey, I'm 7-1 in the playoffs picking games. And the only one I got wrong, Detroit versus Dallas, which I'm going to give myself 75% credit for. I'm also 16-1 picking Packers games. So I'm just going to keep tooting my own horn until the break. And we're going to pick the AFC Championship and the NFC Championship next on The Fan.
The Saturday Morning Showcase on The Fan.
Welcome back. Saturday Morning Showcase on The Fan. It's time to pick some games. I'm 7-1 in the playoffs. I picked the Lions over the Cowboys. The Lions lioned me. But I'm still 7-1, and I'm happy with that. And I'm happy to be in 16-1 picking the Packers. The only game I picked wrong, I thought the Packers would beat the Lions in Week 3. They didn't, so the Lions lioned me again. But I'm over it. I'm not bitter or anything. People don't forget, though. All right. Been talking all hour about Packers Seahawks, believe it or not. We're in Green Bay. Why wouldn't we? What else are we going to talk about? I mean, there is one other game going on tomorrow, though, and it's 5:40 p.m., and we'll have it right here on The Fan via Westwood One. We'll also have Packers Seahawks with Kevin Harlan and Dan Fouts at 2:05. So looking forward to that. Let's talk some AFC Championship. Indianapolis Colts at New England Patriots. These two teams met in Week 11 in Indianapolis, and the Patriots blew the doors off the Colts, 42-20. In that game, Patriots running back Jonas Gray, 37 carries, 201 yards, and 4 touchdowns. And then things changed. Gray missed a team meeting. He didn't play a snap the next week against the Lions.
Yeah.
So this should be a very different game.
I think that the AFC title game could be one of the best we've had in years.
You think so?
Only problem is T.Y. Hilton's going to be the difference. How he performs, how the game's going to go.
Interesting, too, in Week 11, they put Brandon Browner, the 6'4 corner, on little old T.Y. Hilton, gave him some help over the top. They put Darrell Revis on Reggie Wayne, took him out of the game. Interesting game plan, but Bill Belichick always has something up his sleeve. I can't wait to watch that individual matchup. I cannot wait to see what he does with Revis and Browner and those Colts receivers.
I don't think that there is a better postseason coach than Bill Belichick. And I don't think
there's any question.
I don't think that right now there's a better quarterback in the postseason than Tom Brady. I mean, who
could buy that? You mean he beat Joe Flacco last week?
Guys who are left, anyways.
Okay.
Andrew Luck. I don't know that Andrew Luck, I said this before we came on air, I don't think Andrew Luck is at the point in his career where he can show up Tom Brady in the playoffs.
Even though he did it to Peyton Manning?
Everyone knows Peyton Manning is not at the pinnacle right now.
You are correct.
He was down the other side a little bit.
Of course.
And I think that Tom Brady, where he's at right now, is not going to be knocked off by Andrew Luck by any means.
Okay.
I got to stick with Tom Brady on this one.
Okay. Of course, the Colts, they got here by beating the Denver Broncos 24-13. Andrew Luck outshined Peyton Manning. I don't know if Peyton Manning is done, but he looks like it.
Philip Rivers and the Chargers could have beaten Peyton Manning last week.
You got something against Rivers?
No, I just think that they're the most inconsistent team. I love Philip Rivers.
I do too.
But
I'm a fan.
As a team, they've been so inconsistent.
You're right there. The Patriots got here by beating the Baltimore Ravens 35-31. The Ravens rushed out to a 14-0 lead, and everybody's like, wow.
Yeah.
And then Tom Brady happened, and everyone's like, wow.
I watched the first half of that game. I was rather impressed with Baltimore. And I had the wow comment myself there for a while.
Yeah.
And then I finished.
We held it one way or the other.
Yeah, and then I actually went home, finished the rest of the game, and I was like, Tommy, getting it done again. He makes it so hard to bet against him. And just the way he handles and the way he develops the game plan during the game. Like, you can see how he's like, you know what drives he's just going to be fantastic on. He's got exactly what you want for a quarterback for an AFC title game. Like,
yeah. And how about
the qualities?
And how about that Julian Edelman touchdown to Danny Amendola?
That was a pretty throw, dude.
What a thing of beauty that was. So you're on the Patriots.
I'm on the Patriots.
Okay.
And they haven't let me down this year.
I'm sticking on the Patriots as well. Again, my preseason Super Bowl pick, Packers and Patriots. The Packers have the toughest task you could possibly ask an NFL team to do, injuries aside. Winning at Seattle is the toughest thing for an NFL team right now. That being said, I'm going to say right now, I'm sticking with my preseason pick. Packers upset the Seahawks tomorrow. Patriots beat the Colts. We have Packers and Patriots in the Super Bowl again. Who do you have? Before we start hour two, who do you have, Packers or Seahawks?
As much as I'm scared to say it, I do have the Green Bay Packers. They are good enough. And I think right now they're playing with just as much chip on their shoulder.
Listen, there is a reason why the Packers are a 7.5-point underdog. They're 4-4 on the road. The Seahawks are on another level defensively. But if you're picking the Packers, that doesn't necessarily make you a homer. There are plenty of reasons to be optimistic going into the game. And revisit those top 5 reasons why January 18th will be very different than September 4th next on The Fan. Sports Radio 107.5 and 1400 The Fan. I'm Marcus Eversall, along with Will Case here, live in the Mills Fleet Farm Fan Studio, on the eve of the NFC Championship. Tomorrow, 2:05 kickoff. It'll be Mason Crosby or Steven Hauschka making the kick. Tomorrow around 2:05, looking forward to that. Looking forward to Green Bay game day, live from the Green Bay Distillery at 11 a.m. Very excited about that. Big day for football. Can't wait.
It's going to be fun.
It is fun.
No matter who wins, best time of year for football.
Can't wait.
Looking forward to it. Cannot wait. We gave you the top 5 reasons why the season opener does not mirror this version of the Packers. It is the same season, but a very different team. We opened the show with it. We're going to close the show with it. 5 big differences. Number 1. The defense, much improved since that week 1 game. And Mike Daniels, he'll give you some reasons why that's the case.
I mean, we got some attitude, you know. Flat out didn't come to play last time. Got Sam Barrington in there in the middle. He's going to thump you. After he thumps you, he's going to tell you he thumped you. Ha-ha does the same thing. LaTroy, last time he played up there, that was his 4th time in pads. You know, the guy missed all the camp. He was hurt, so he's been playing a lot of good football since then. Clay is playing at that level that Clay Matthews plays at. Julius, he's like wine, man. He's getting better with age.
Can't overlook that. Can't overlook the fact that LaTroy Guyon, I mean, he missed all of training camp until the very, very end. He's been playing a lot better than he played in week 1. He got manhandled in the middle of that game. Number one, defense, much improved. Number two, they can rely on the run and win games. Number three, Brad Jones, no longer an every down player. Yeah, that goes with number one, but you can't overlook that at all. Addition by subtraction, getting Brad Jones off the field as far as being an every down player. Situationally fine, every down player, it wasn't working, they made the necessary change. Number four, Derek Sherrod, no longer a Packer, train wreck in week one. Brian Bulaga in the lineup at right tackle, cannot overstate how big of a deal that is. Brian Bulaga is greater than Derek Sherrod, hashtag basic math. Number five, Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers, and at some point tomorrow he will look like Aaron Rodgers. Bad calf or not, hey, you know Seattle's looking for Aaron Rodgers to be Aaron Rodgers, mobile or not. He's the guy that strikes fear into his opponent. He's the MVP of the league. Number 12, more important than the 12th man.
You know, with the busted, quote, calf, you still think Rodgers is the most dangerous quarterback aside from Tom Brady. I mean, you know, like, people always say, I wouldn't rather have anyone but Aaron Rodgers under center right now. But is that true with the calf? I think it is. I think the Seahawks are wise to prepare for him in that regard.
Very, very exciting game. Looking forward to it. And speaking of the defensive changes, it really set the tone for the second half of the season when they went 7-1, only lost at Buffalo, which they play a similar style defense to Seattle, so that makes you wonder a little bit. But the changes they made at the bye week, starting in that first game at home against the Chicago Bears, those changes are perfect. They made those changes for some of the same reasons why they would have had to make changes to play Seattle a second time. Like, the changes to help the run defense, you know? Putting Nick Perry on the outside to set the edge and Clay Matthews in the middle to stop the run. This team is equipped to give Seattle a game, and it will be a game. I do not see Seattle blowing them out like week one. Can't see it.
I can see them losing. I don't think anyone I would argue that. But it's not going to be a 20-point spread either way. I don't think it could be, but I don't think it will. I think that both teams are good enough. You don't get to the NFC title game and lose by 20 points.
No.
Very often.
No.
Your team is going to perform.
Running quarterbacks against the Packers recently have had some success. Colin Kaepernick has had plenty of it. Russell Wilson, you would figure, could do the same thing. Didn't hurt him much with his legs in week one. Clay Matthews as a spy could be a huge weapon for the Packers defense. Here's Tremont Williams talking about the key to defending Russell Wilson.
You don't go for the pump fake. It's easily said than done, you know what I mean? He pumped the ball and you want to go at it, but you have to stay down there and actually go for him. And it's, like I said, it's not easily done, but that's what we have to do.
Packers have to be disciplined. They have to swarm to the ball. They're going to need a lot of people's help to bring down Marshawn Lynch as well. But this is it. Super Bowl on the line. Packers or Seahawks. One of their seasons will end the same way it started in Seattle. Packers-Seahawks. Super Bowl on the line. Julius Peppers knows his time to win the Super Bowl is ticking.
Hey, yes or no?
Getting to the Super Bowl, getting to the NFC Championship in 2010, going in 05, getting to the Super Bowl in 02, you know, all of those were close calls. I always thought I was going to be back the following year, and that never happened.
Well, Julius Peppers has an opportunity to get there. Tomorrow, you beat the Seahawks, you move on to Arizona, Super Bowl 49. Hey, Reggie White won a Super Bowl, free agent acquisition.
Yep.
Charles Woodson did it. Will Julius Peppers join the club? Hey, it could happen. One win away.
Yes or no, does karma come back to CenturyLink Field and visit?
Karma will not come back in the form of Lance Easley, I can guarantee you that.
Right.
Making a terrible call. But if karma comes in the form of a win, then yes, I think there will be karma.